This is a life-changing message from New Light Christian Center Church in Houston, Texas. And now, let's join Dr. I.B. Hilliard.
Repeat after me. This is my Bible. I am what it says I am. I can do what it says I can do. I am a believer, not a doubter. I am a doer, not just a hearer. And my life is the better after having heard the word of faith. Faith comes by hearing, and hearing, and hearing by the word of God. Amen. All right, in the book of Mark, chapter 16, when Jesus was getting ready to leave the earth, he said to the disciples, verse 15, and he said unto them, go ye therefore into all nations, preach the gospel to every creature. He that believeth and is baptized shall be saved, but he that believeth not shall be damned. And these signs shall follow them that believe. In my name shall they cast out devils. They shall speak with new tongues. They shall take up serpents. And if they drink any deadly thing, it shall not hurt them. They shall lay hands on the sick, and they shall recover. Well, we've been teaching from the subject what to do when healing doesn't manifest quickly. What to do when you've been prayed for and you don't get an instantaneous miracle. What do you do when you need to stand in faith for your healing? That's what we've been teaching on. And we said that this series of lessons is most important because for the most part, we have to stand in faith for our healing because God does not promise us a miracle every time. He doesn't promise us a miracle every time. The Bible teaches us that miracles work as the Spirit will. So then, but the Word of God does teach us that we have a covenant promise of healing, and we can release our faith for those covenant promises. Turn with me, Bibles, to Psalms 103, and we see that there are benefits. One of the benefits for being part of the family of God, the covenant family of God, is that He promises to heal us. And we know that the promises of God are received by faith. Verse 1, bless the Lord, O my soul, and all that is within me, bless His holy name. Bless the Lord, O my soul, and forget not all His benefits. So I know that there are benefits for being a part of the kingdom of God. I am not immune from the sickness and disease that's in the earth, but I do have the assurance from Him that He will help me in the midst of an attack. Verse 3 says, who forgiveth all thine iniquities and who healeth all thy diseases, who redeemeth thy life from destruction and crowneth thee with loving kindness and tender mercies. Amen. So I understand now that there is a promise that we have, a covenant promise that we have of healing, divine healing. Go to Psalms 107 while we're there in the Psalms. Psalms 107, and we see again what the Bible says about God's commitment to heal our bodies. Amen. Verse 20 says, Psalms 107, are you there? All right, all right. Verse 20 says, He sent His word and healed them and delivered them from their destruction. He sent His what? His word and healed them. So there's healing power in His word. But we know that to be true. Go to Proverbs chapter 4. Proverbs chapter 4. We know that His word brings healing because the scripture clearly says this, that the word is health or medicine to our flesh. Proverbs 4 and verse 20. My son, attend to my words, incline thine ear to my sayings. Let them not depart from thine eyes and keep them in the midst of thine heart. For they are life to those that find them and health to all their flesh. And we found out this week in our teaching that the word health there is also a word that could be translated medicine. So I understand that the word of God is medicine to my flesh. We have a commitment from God that divine health and healing is ours. Go to Isaiah 53. And so it is prophesied. Jesus fulfilled the prophecy. Amen. And so it is so that we have a right to expect divine healing, and we can receive that promise of divine healing through faith. Amen. So Isaiah 53 and verse 4 says, surely He hath borne our griefs and carried our sorrows. Now this is the report that is being talked about there in verse 1. It says, who hath believed the report? The report is that we can be healed. And not only is the Bible says, who hath believed the report, but to whom is the arm of the Lord revealed? And we found out that arm of the Lord has to do with His power. To the degree that I believe the report, I will experience His power. All right, surely he hath borne our griefs and carried our sorrows. Yet we did esteem him stricken, smitten of God, and afflicted. He was wounded for our transgressions. He was bruised for our iniquities. The chastisement of our peace was upon him, and with his stripes we are what? We are healed. Now, that's a prophecy, amen? Now, go to Matthew chapter 8. In Matthew chapter 8, we'll see what was going on when that prophecy was being fulfilled. Because there's a lot of controversy in the body of Christ about whether he's talking about spiritual healing or not. And that is really one of the main problems. The body of Christ just won't get together on it and just agree that Jesus wants us well. Amen? All right. There in verse 16, it says, in Matthew chapter 8, verse 16, when the evening was come, they brought unto him many that were possessed with devils, and he cast out the spirits with his word and healed all that were sick, that it might be fulfilled, which was spoken of Isaiah the prophet, saying, himself took our infirmities and bare our sickness. If he took our infirmities and he bare our sicknesses, that means we don't have to. Look at the person that said, that's good news. Tell them that's good news. All right, now, we'll go with me, Bibles, to 1 Peter 2:24. 1 Peter 2:24. This is for the benefit of those who haven't been with us all week. We don't want to leave them behind, right? Amen. So we're just doing a very quick review on some of the things we've already touched on, and trusting, of course, you will invest in yourself and get the audio cassette tapes and keep them in the medicine cabinet with everything else. Amen. Verse 24 says, who his own self bare our sins in his own body on the tree, that we being dead to sin should live unto righteousness, by whose stripes ye were healed. So this by the word here says ye were healed, past tense. And there in Isaiah it says we are healed. So if I are and I were, I am. Amen. So we have found out how the word of God works, or how faith works. There in Mark chapter 11, go there with me, Mark chapter 11, and verse 23 and 24 lets us know how Jesus taught the disciples to receive something by faith. Because the promises of God, all the promises of God, are received by faith. And there's some fundamental things to receiving by faith that we want to just briefly touch. Verse 23 says, for verily I say unto you, whosoever shall say unto this mountain, be thou removed, be thou cast into the sea, and shall not doubt in his heart, but shall believe that those things which he saith shall come to pass, he shall what? He shall have whatsoever he saith. Therefore I say unto you, what things soever ye desire, when you pray, believe you receive them, and you shall have them. And when you stand praying, forgive. If you have aught against any, that your Father also, which is in heaven, may forgive you your trespasses. So I understand the mechanics or the process of faith. And we said the process of faith is that I must ask the Father in Jesus' name. Number two, I must believe I receive at the moment I pray. And we found out that biblical believing means I accept it as a fact, even if I have no sense rim evidence. And then we say we have to confess the word of God. We form a statement that we choose to make in agreement with what God's word says, regardless of what it looks like. So when I say I believe, I'm saying, since believing is having no sense rim evidence, I'm saying I don't have any sense rim evidence. The only evidence I have on the statement I'm about to make is what the word of God says. So with pain in my body, I can still say, I believe by the stripes of Jesus, I'm healed. Now, I know, and if somebody don't understand it, that's their problem. They're not the one that's in being attacked, you understand? They're not the one that's releasing their faith for healing. I am. And I don't need to explain it to you because, look, you know, if you really want some good explanation, go buy the tape, get the book. I was there, I heard it, I believe it, and you're not going to talk me out of it. Amen. And then the Bible says, of course, that a man has what he said. So I must say it on a continuous basis. I don't just say it one time, but I say it on an ongoing basis. And when the devil tries to attack my mind with something different, I remind him of what God's word says. Amen. And then the next part is corresponding action. I must act like the word of God is so. I must act in agreement with what I have believed and what I have received and what I am confessing. I act in agreement. If all I can do is wiggle my toes and say, by his stripes, I'm healed. I do something in agreement with that. You got it? And since I know that it is progressive, then what I do is I rejoice over every little progress that's made. Amen, amen. Now, So that, in a nutshell, is what we've been talking about. And we've been looking at the process, and we found out that I have to be willing to stand boldly in order to receive. Go to Hebrews chapter 10. Since it's not magic, and we said that when I'm in faith, that I have five justifiable expectations. Number one, I'm expecting the plan of action. Number two, I'm expecting the wisdom of God. Number three, I'm expecting the favor of God. Number four, I'm expecting a miracle if God chooses to work one. Number five, I'm expecting strength to endure until change comes. Because I understand that for faith to work, it takes time. I understand faith is like a force, and the more I stand in faith and confess the word of God, it's driving out sickness and disease from my body. So I understand that's how it works, and if I will work the system, it'll work. Amen. Now, I'm not against doctors. We love doctors. Amen. Praise the Lord. We love any doctors in the house tonight. We love doctors, all doctors in the house. There's a doctor over here. Anybody, any other doctors in the house? All right. We're doing this week. We've had several doctors in the house. We love all doctors. Amen. Why? They help us in the natural while we work on it in the spiritual. Amen. So taking medicine is not working against my faith. It's helping me. I can confess the word of God a whole lot better when I've taken my pain pill and I don't have to grimace through my pain. Amen. Now, you may want to understand, by his stripes, I'm here. I'm going to take my pain pill and say, by his stripes, I'm here. Glory to God. You understand? All right. And I know that they are treating symptoms. Amen. And they're doing all they can, so they can't be against God. Amen. They want you healed. Amen. They want you well. Because God doesn't put sickness and disease on his children. Amen. If God did it, don't take Tylenol, because Tylenol is not going to help you. If God did it, don't take any medicine, because that would make the medicine more powerful than God if it could stop something God wants to do. Amen, amen. So we got all that straight already. We don't have to backtrack on that. Go to Hebrews chapter 10, because we need to understand how to make this stand, how to make this stand. When I'm working the process of faith, verse 35 says, Cast not away therefore your confidence, which hath great recompense of reward, for ye have need of patience. And the Amplified says, steadfast patience and endurance. Everybody say endurance. Now, that's different from just saying, well, we'll just see what's going to happen. No, I have patience. Biblical patience and scriptural patience is not just sitting back hoping something happened and wait. It is a steadfast endurance. It is continuing to do what you know to do, even if you don't see, it doesn't seem like it's working. Because you know it's working, because his word will not return unto him void. Amen, amen. And that's hard for people, because we're so sense rim bound that we're always looking to see if it's working. My evidence that it's working is the word. And we found out that there are two truths at work, or two ways to judge a thing. There is a spiritual fact, there's a spiritual truth, and there's sense rim fact. And to the degree I believe truth and put faith on truth, it will change facts. Amen. So I understand that. We know I understand that there are two ways of looking at everything. We are spiritual people, and therefore we have a spiritual covenant with God, and we're basing what we're doing on spiritual principles. There are natural laws, there are spiritual laws. What I'm teaching you is spiritual law that will work for you. Amen. What the medical profession has understood are the natural laws, and we work hand in hand. We don't work against each other. We're not telling people not to go to the doctor. The doctor can be your best friend in your faith fight. Amen. Your best friend in your faith fight, giving you time, especially in terminal situations, so your faith has time to work. Amen, amen. So I'm not going to cast away my confidence. The Bible says it has great recompense of reward, because the scripture lets me know here that what I have need of is patience. Amen. All right. There it is. It says, for ye have need of patience, that after you've done the will of God, I've done what the word of God says, I might receive the promise. So I understand that there is a period of standing. There's a period of steadfastness. There's a period of patience that I have to endure. I put on patience, and it is a force that works on my behalf. I am continuing to do what I know to do. I don't let the devil intimidate me. I don't let anything intimidate me. I continue to do it because I believe it. Amen, amen, amen. Hallelujah. Look at the person and say, I can do this. Don't tell me I can do this. Yes, indeed. Go to Romans chapter 8. Romans chapter 8. Patience is a spiritual resolve that gives birth to strength and the tenacity to continue to operate in faith in the face of give up opportunities. I continue to do it. When the test comes back and the test is still negative, or the test is a negative report. I wanted it to be a positive report. I wanted to have a good report, but if it's a negative report, I'm still not shaken. Why? Because what really matters hasn't changed. He is still my healer. The power of God is still working on the inside of me. Amen, amen, amen. Hallelujah. All right. Now, in Romans chapter 8, we'll look there in verse 24, 25. Romans chapter 8, are we there? All right. It says, for we are saved by hope, but hope that is seen is not hope. For what a man seeth, why doth he yet hope for? But if we hope for that we see not, then do we with patience wait for it. So the Bible says, my expectation does not have to solely rest in what I see. Hope is my expectation. Because if I see it, I don't have to expect it. So if I can't see it, the Bible, just showing you this is how God operates with us. He says, now, so if I don't see it, I can still expect it. And I wait for it. Everybody say, wait for it. Now, see, don't get the idea that this waiting is a passive, you know, kind of case, sarah, whatever will be with the Lord. You know, if the Lord want to hear me, I guess he'll hear me. He wants to. That's why he sent Jesus. He wants to. That's why Jesus took the stripes on his back. He wants to. That's why he sent his word. He wants to. That's why he confirms his word with signs following. He wants to. Come on, look at the person next to you and say, God wants you healed. Yeah, he wants you well. He wants you whole. Amen. Go to Isaiah 40. Because when the Bible here is talking about waiting, it is not talking about passive action, but it's talking about determined action. Amen, amen. Hallelujah. This is how you spiritually fight. Thank God that we know how to spiritually fight. Amen, amen. Praise the Lord. All right. Verse 28, it says, hast thou not known, hast thou not heard that the everlasting God, the Lord, the creator of the ends of the earth, fainteth not, neither is weary. There is no searching of his understanding. He giveth power to the faint, and to them that have no might, he increaseth strength. Even the youth shall faint and be weary, and the young men shall utterly fall. But they that wait upon the Lord, underline wait then, shall renew their strength. They shall mount up on wings with eagles. They shall run and not be weary. They shall walk and not faint. The waiting that the Bible talks about is a waiting that calls you to get stronger and stronger and stronger. Amen. Now go to Proverbs chapter 18. The waiting that the scripture talks about is a waiting that increases my strength. And this waiting that the scripture is talking about is really a worship to God. A focus on God, a dependence on God. And when I'm doing that, instead of me getting weaker and weaker, I get stronger and stronger. And this strength is a strength that comes from God. Amen. Praise the name of the Lord. So we're not in denial that when you're going through a situation, praise the Lord, you get through it. But when you're going through a situation, I gotta tell you, you know, there's pain, there's discomfort. All of those things are real. And we thank God for doctors and medicine and that sort of thing that can help us with those types of discomfort. But look what the Bible says here in verse 14. It says, the strength of a man will sustain his infirmity, but a wounded spirit who can bear? Verse 14 says, the strong spirit of a man sustains him in bodily pain or trouble. The strong spirit of a man is what sustains him in bodily pain or trouble. So I got to understand my spirit, the strength of my spirit, how spiritually strong I am, has a lot to do with how I'm able to endure pain. Glory to God. Amen, amen. So it's worth it to strengthen myself spiritually, because during the time of pain, the Bible says, I'll be sustained. Amen, amen, amen. You know, on the cruise, when I went on our church cruise this year, I fell on the cruise. And in my stateroom, it was a cruise line fault, you know. I mean, the air conditioning was leaking from the ceiling, and I didn't know it. It was on the floor. The floor was marble. And I walked out, and I didn't see it, and I slipped and fell. Fell pretty hard, you understand? You know, 20, 30 years ago, I'd fall. I'd jump right back up, you understand? Y'all keep laughing. Y'all young folk keep laughing. Yeah. You know, I'd fall, jump back up. I fall, and I wanted to jump. I couldn't move. And what happened was I just sprained my muscle. But after an MRI, they found out I tore my rotator cuff. Yeah, pain. Y'all see that? Y'all see the ugly look y'all got? Y'all see, that's an ugly look I had too, yeah. And when I had to take the MRI, you know, I was laying there and, you know, you have to be perfectly, anybody ever take MRI in here? Okay, all right, yeah. So you have to lay perfectly still. For about 45 minutes to an hour. No. You don't understand the pain. You follow me? I was in incredible pain. Incredible pain, you understand? And the lady said, if you move, you got to start all over. I mean, I am laying there. I am in pain, y'all. I am in serious pain. And I said, man, I wish they had just took me some Tylenol before I came in here. And the Spirit said, there's something greater than Tylenol. Oh, my God, I'm telling you. Said, you have a covenant. You can take authority over this. Now, I'm the pastor. I ought to know that. Come on. I'm the pastor. I ought to know that. You understand? I ought to know that, you understand? But the Spirit of God quickened that in me, and I just start praying in the Spirit. I began to pray in the Spirit, take authority over the pain, and I was able to endure it. I know that scripture is true. Amen, amen, amen. So the Bible lets me know that being spiritually strong is important. So you're not wasting your time when you are building yourself up spiritually. See, and the sad part about many people in the body of Christ is they want to wait till a crisis happens and run to Jesus. Now you've been but all these other Sundays, where are you? But you want to run to Jesus on a Sunday. You want to have the prayer line, especially for you, you understand? You don't want to hear no singing or nothing. Come lay hands on me right now and give me my miracle. But if you'll just invest and building yourself spiritually, when you need it, the spiritual strength will be there. Amen, amen, amen. Hallelujah. Now, so, look at the person and say, you know, we love our pastor. Even when he tells us something we don't want to hear. Amen, amen. Thank you for your love. Thank you for your love. Amen. All right, here's what we're going to talk about tonight. Tonight we're going to identify and eliminate barriers to receiving the manifestation. Unfortunately, we can do some things either ignorantly and sometimes not even ignorantly, just because we really don't care. At the moment, we don't care enough that we can delay the manifestation. We can actually work against our healing. Oh, I know he's going to get quiet on that. So let's see if we can't get the proper motivation of why I want to walk in divine health. I want to walk in divine health and want to be healed, number one, because to serve God. If I serve, it's easier to serve God when I'm not in pain. I can do a better job for God healed in health. I can do a better job. Amen. You know, if I ain't got to bind and loose and I can do a whole lot better job. You understand? Amen. Now, I'm, of course, I'm believing for my full manifestation of my healing of my rotator cuff. I'm believing that. And of course, I'm better and better. But, you know, I mean, the first couple of weeks, I couldn't even do this. I couldn't even stretch my hand out. You know, and I had to pray for people, you know. On Saturday night, I was praying with Dr. B. And I said, I don't know if they saw me. I was doing, in the name of Jesus. In the name of Jesus. I mean, I'm carrying out my assignment, but I had to do it with much pain. It's a whole lot easier to lay hands on folk when you just do it and just, you know, praise the Lord. You understand? My point is, we can serve God a lot better if these bodies are in good shape. Amen, amen, amen. So, first motivation to pursue the manifestation of my faith is that I can serve God better. Second, it pleases God. It pleases God when I walk by faith, and faith works. The Bible says, without faith, it's impossible to please him. So getting the full manifestation of my faith, it brings pleasure and it pleases God. And then go to 1 Corinthians chapter 6, and it is a matter of stewardship over something God possesses. And the reality of this, I think, will really drive the point home. Why you need to take care of your body. Ooh, not a lot of amens on that. All right. Know ye not, look at verse 19. Know ye not that your body is the temple of the Holy Ghost, which is in you, which ye have of God, and you are not your own. Okay, I want 1 Corinthians, chapter, what did I tell you? 6, verse 19. Verse 19, I want everybody to find it. So you can't say, I didn't see that in the Bible. I want you to see this one. What? Know ye not that your body is the temple of the Holy Ghost, which is in you, which you have of God, and you're not your own? For ye are bought with a price. Therefore, glorify God in your body and in your spirit, which are God's. Wow. My body belongs to God. I'm just a steward over this body, and I've got to treat this body right because it's not mine. If I lent you something, and wouldn't you take care of it? If I told you, hey, you can drive my car for a week, would you just take care of my car and bring it back to me? Huh? I lend you Bridget's bug. What'd you say about it? I give you her bug. All right, yeah. All right. All right, but the truth of the matter is, since I entrusted it to your hands, you would take care of it, wouldn't you? Yeah, you'd take care of it. Well, see, your body don't belong to you. Oh. No, that's what the Bible says. Your body is the temple of the Holy Ghost. And when you get a revelation of that, it changes how you deal with this temple. Hallelujah. You told me you love me. You already told me you love me, even though I said some things to me. I'm like, all right. Now watch this. Go to Psalms 26 and 2, because we need to understand that barring trauma and that sort of thing, and many times things that we have no control over, you know, infirmities or weakness of our flesh many times that come through, inheritances and things like that. We can do things to harm our bodies and put ourselves in a position of sickness and disease. Amen. And you need to stop. All right, verse... What did I tell you? It's Proverbs. I told you Proverbs. I told you Psalms. It's Proverbs 26 and 2. Thank you, Dr. B. Yeah. It says, hurry. As the bird by wandering and the swallow by flying, so the curse causeless shall not come. So the Bible says, when the curse, of course, sickness is under the list of curses and diseases, sickness is not a blessing. How many already know that? I mean, don't even need no scripture to understand that. Sickness is not a blessing. All right, the Bible says, curse causes shall not come. So that means If I don't identify and eliminate things that are causing it, then I'm working against myself. Amen. So I've got several things here that we're going to identify that can prevent the manifestation. Because you praying and you know, believe in God, but at the same time, you're doing things that will stop the healing from manifest. Amen, amen. And since we understand we are stewards of this body, everybody say, it's going to get better. Tell them it's going to get better. It's going to get better. Yeah, we got a little rough part right here we got to go through, but, you know, it's going to get better. All right. Number one is ignorance of both the natural and the spiritual. We are ignorant of the natural and the spiritual. And many times we're working counter to what we want to happen. If I'm ignorant of the natural and I don't understand, if I don't know that eating a certain kind of food is going to go counter to what I'm believing, that I'm praying for healing, and then I'm working against myself by ingesting that that's going to hurt me. The Bible says my people are destroyed for a lack of knowledge. And then once I get the knowledge, I don't reject the knowledge by saying, I got to hand me some pig feet. I just got to hand me some pig feet. I don't care what they say. I heard him. I was with him all week long, but I got to tell you, I got to have me. Hallelujah. All right. So ignorance of the natural and the spiritual laws. You understand? So, you know, you've got to find out. You know, and I trust and I thank God, you know, because with the availability of knowledge today, you can go on the internet and pretty much, you know, get the latest research on what's going on. And you've got to research it for yourself. You know, even though you got your doctor there, you just need to read some things for yourself. And when you find that you're violating a natural law, then you stop it. Amen. When you find out you're violating the spiritual law, you stop it. All right? Because listen, I prayed for you and taught you faith. And I prayed for you and said the power of God is on the inside of you. And that power on the inside of you is something you cannot detect with your senses. You got to believe that that power is on the inside of you. To the degree you believe it and say it, it activates in your life. I lay hands on you, and then you walk away, and then somebody said, well, how you feel? He said, I didn't get nothing up there. I just laid my hand on my head, don't feel no better, ain't nothing happening. When I taught you to say what? I believe. But see, many times nobody ever taught us how to hold on to our faith. You got it? But once you know, you change. Amen. I'm never obligated to tell you how I feel. I may feel like, you know, somebody hit me in the head, you understand? But I choose to say what I believe. I believe I'm healed. I believe by the stripes of Jesus I'm healed. I believe the power of God is working on the inside of me, restoring me to perfect wholeness and health. And I know some people say, but I'm telling you, if I'm going to operate in faith, then that's the way I choose to do it. Amen, amen. All right, number two is unforgiveness will short circuit your faith. That's why Mark chapter 11 and 25, it says, now when you stand praying, forgive. So I cannot be in faith for anything, whether it's prosperity, whether it's healing. I cannot be in faith for anything and walk in unforgiveness. So I cannot walk in offense. I cannot be harboring offenses. I just forgive. I choose to forgive you. You are not worth me losing my manifestation over. Amen. And then just ask the Holy Spirit. You know, Holy Spirit, reveal to me anybody that I need to forgive. Or reveal that to me. And then you go in and forgive them. Number three, inconsistency in your faith will keep you from receiving. James chapter 1. Go there with me. James chapter 1. You need to see this. Inconsistency in your faith. Inconsistency in your believing, inconsistency in your hearing, will negate your faith. All right. Are you there? Now watch this. The Bible clearly says here, verse 7, it says, all right, verse 6, let him ask in faith, nothing wavering, for he that wavereth is like the wave of a sea driven with the wind and tossed. In other words, when I'm around folk of faith, I talk faith. But when I get around other folk to say, you know, the Lord won't put any more, you're unable, you're unable to bear. I say, yeah, I know what the Lord is doing. I don't know what the Lord is trying to work out in my life, but till he works it out. You know, I'm just going to hold on to the Lord's unchanging hand. That sounds good spiritually, spiritual rhetoric, but it ain't true. All right? Watch this. It says, all right, verse 7. For let not that man think that he shall receive anything of the Lord. A double-minded man is unstable in what? All his way. So I can't be talking faith tomorrow and doubt and unbelief. You know, faith today, doubt and unbelief tomorrow. Faith today while I'm in the church and then leave out here talking doubt and unbelief. Yeah, I know what he said, but you know, baby, the Lord give you five senses. We walk by faith and not by senses. And there's nothing that you've heard this week that would be harmful to your health. Because I told you to go to the doctor. I told you that the doctors can help you by working on symptoms as your faith begins to spiritually work on what's wrong with you. You understand? So you don't go from faith to fear and doubt and unbelief. And that's the fourth one. The fourth one is fear that causes disobedience, which results in failure. Fear will kill your faith. Hearing a bad report, don't get gripped by fear. The promise has not changed. And the word of God has not changed. And if you can get that down in your heart, you can handle any report that you get. Big person said, it is what it is. But what really changes, but what really matters does not change. And a bad report does not change the good report. That by his stripes, I am healed. That I had a covenant of health. Amen. Number five, the influence of the company of unbelievers. 1 Corinthians 15:33. The Bible says in Proverbs for me to guard my heart. And I can't be around a lot of negative, unbelieving people. Amen. So I've got to respect what the word of God says. Be not, verse 33 says, be not deceived. Evil communications corrupt good manners. The Amplifier says it this way. Do not be so deceived and misled. Evil companionship, communion, association corrupts and depraves good manners and morals and character. So I can't hang around a lot of negative people. I can't do that. I'm believing for my healing. Baby, you need to go and go home. Thank God for caller ID. You get the message. Don't need to take that call. All you're going to do is, well, baby, how you doing? Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. I know what you mean. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Uh-huh. Yeah. Well, don't expect too much. No, I'm expecting to get up out this bed, baby. No, I expect total healing and wholeness. Amen. All right, number what? Where are we now? Number what? Number six, misdirected confidence that sets you up for a faith letdown. And what I mean by that is this. When I have a misdirected confidence or expectation, for instance, I thought when he laid hands on me, I was going to fall. The person on this side fell. The person on that side fell. I didn't even fall. Guess I didn't get it. It didn't say, by you falling, you shall be healed. So that's what Naaman almost missed his healing because he had a misguided expectation. He said, I'm sure the man of God's going to come and lay his hands on me and speak words over me. All the prophet told him was, look, good, you go wash in the muddy water. You don't stand, I'm big time. If I just want to take a bath, I could have took a bath, you know, back where I came from. Waters are cleaner there. And many people don't understand, Jordan's like a muddy ditch. It ain't all that beautiful. It's a muddy ditch. And he said, I'm going to go down there. And the servant said, what you got to lose? If he asked you to do something hard, you would have done it. What do you have to lose? And he said, well, okay. And he went and dipped himself seven times in that muddy water. And that seventh time when he came up muddy but clean. Amen. Misguided or misdirected expectations, all right? And that, again, and I say again, that, you know, in the process of manifested healing, if during the process you don't get a good report right off. See, if your faith is in the averages and you don't fit the average, that don't mean nothing to God. He didn't say he'd heal you if you're in the average group. So I'm not going to put my faith in the average. I just hope I'm in that 20% range that have this and don't die. I am not dying. Hallelujah. Number seven, silence in a satanic attack. Silence in a satanic. In other words, when the devil starts talking to you and starts feeding you all these negative things, you cannot hold your peace. You have to open your mouth and you have to talk back. Well, what am I going to say? Say what the word of God says. Well, by his stripes, I'm here. When the devil starts saying, look, I'm going to take you out of here. You're going under now, buddy. I got you. Look, you can't even move your hand now. You can't even move your hand. I got you. No, by his stripes, I'm healed. I believe by his stripes, I'm healed. That's what Jesus did in Matthew chapter 4. Now, think about this. If the devil will attack Jesus and he'll talk to Jesus, he'll talk to you too. And you don't have to be a weak Christian for the devil to attack you. He attacked Paul. He attacked Jesus. He will attack you. But the thing about it, the Bible says we resist the devil and he will flee. He will flee from us. Well, how do we resist him? I don't resist him. I say, I ain't going to think about that. I ain't going to think about it. No, that's not how you resist him. You resist him by opening your mouth and speaking the word. When the devil starts speaking to you, well, what do you mean how he speaks to me? With thoughts. He doesn't show up in a red suit and a pitchfork, but with thoughts, those negative thoughts that you're going under. And I think many times you need to protect yourself, especially if you got a terminal situation on your hands. I mean, that's some movies I don't think you ought to look at. I mean, you don't need to look at no gory dying for folk movies, folk dying and all that kind of stuff. You need to protect yourself from all that stuff. I can't watch that right now. I can't watch it. I got a little fight going on. I can't watch all that right now. Why give the devil access to you? Somebody said, well, child, you need to see this movie. You know, you got a bout with a terminal disease, and they want to show you a movie of a lady who had a terminal disease and died. I think you need to see this. This is a good movie. This is a good movie. I saw it. Yeah, it is. I think it'll help you. That's going to help me. She didn't win. She did not win. That is not going to help me. I don't need to see her lose. Amen, amen. Number eight. Turn to Proverbs 23. The rejection of natural laws governing health and nutrition. Amen. Verse 1. Are you there, Proverbs 23? When thou sittest to eat with a ruler, consider diligently what is before thee, and put a knife to thy throat, if thou be a man given to appetite. Be not desirous of his dainties, for they are deceitful meat. Okay, what's all that saying? All that's saying is God designed these bodies to receive nutrition through the things that we eat. Amen, amen, amen. Amen, that's how he designed it, okay? And much of what we eat is dead because we like to cook it until it's all, you know, flavorful, but all we're eating is dead stuff. God engineered this body that it can go for a long time, but then there's a point in time when you got to be able to put some nutrition in this body. You got to drink water. Yeah, yeah. You got to drink water every day. Amen. You got to drink lots of it every day. The body needs it. Amen. I didn't say drink a Coke. I didn't say drink coffee and drink liquids. I said drink water. Amen. You got to eat live food. Before it's processed, you got to eat live food. I know you don't like salads, but live food, fruits. And then because our soil many times is the fruit is grown in is so depleted, many times you've got to take a vitamin supplement. A vitamin supplement. You got to do that. We're talking about giving the body what it needs. Amen, amen. So it may mean you need to study to change your eating habits. So the Bible says if a man's given to appetite, when it's figurative, he's saying you need to put a knife through your throat. What he's saying, look, you're killing yourself anyway. Amen. Now, it's amazing because when I went to the Lord on my situation, he said, okay, son, this is what you need to do. You need to drink more water. Well, I didn't argue with the Lord. I bind that in the name of Jesus. I'm going to drink my diet Pepsi. My diet, I bind that. So, well, yeah, I talked to the Lord. I talked to him. And he said, you need to drink more water. And then it was amazing because I have one of these doctors that's a holistic doctor. And he told me the same thing. God already told me that. Told me I need to eat more live food. Then he told me that. I already knew that. God already told me that. Everybody getting quiet now. Y'all want to get real spiritual, huh? Amen. And you can develop a taste for it. Hallelujah. Amen, amen. Not anything in moderation. Amen. So don't be condemned tomorrow at the picnic. I know how y'all are. Y'all will hear this lesson. And tomorrow at the picnic, y'all won't eat no food. You understand? No. No, you can do it. No, don't do that. Don't do that. You have to be in moderation. But I'm saying you add to what you're doing. Because, see, you need to add good food to your food, good fresh food to what you do. Now, so you know, every day I have me a vegetable plate. Got it? I eat fresh. I get a fresh thing. Like I eat salad all the time now, you know. But I eat more of it. Got it? And then you know, I understand there are certain things happen in your body because there are certain deficiencies there. The Bible says that which is natural is first. Amen. So I'm not going to work against my body by doing something. By denying it something that it needs. Amen. Can I move on? All right. Move on. All right. Amen. All right. So, it doesn't mean that I can't have me something nice all the time, but I can't make that little nice thing that I like all the time my main diet when it has no nutritional value. Amen. So am I, what's that? My pocket in the back, right here on this side. Okay, as my mic had opened up on me. Okay, all right. Praise the Lord. Amen. Now, did y'all see my pocket over here like this? And y'all didn't tell me. Did y'all see it over here? And y'all didn't tell me. You know, y'all supposed to keep me cool. I got all the folk on the internet all over the world watching me. You understand? You understand? Folk all in Austin and Beaumont watching me. You understand? And y'all ain't got my back over here. I'm looking all jacked up in the back, and y'all just. That's why you have to have a good wife. All right. All right, that's just a good comic relief right there because of what I'm talking about, you understand? All right. So we're saying add to it now, amen? I'm not saying you can't have you some niceties, some desserts and all that sort of thing, but I'm saying now let's add to it more water. All right, let me give you a scripture. Go to Exodus chapter 23. Look at the promise. Verse 25, are you there? And ye shall serve the Lord your God. And, all right, are you there? Exodus 23, 25. And ye shall serve the Lord your God. He shall bless thy bread and thy water, not Coke. Now, I'm not against Coke. You can have Coke every now and then, but I need water. Come on, look at the person that says, we need water. Come on, tell me, water. No, come on, y'all laughing, but I know I'm comical, but we got to get this through. We need water. You need it. You need to drink more water. How many will commit that Pastor, I'm going to start drinking more water? Every day. You're in church. Stand on your feet. I'll make you commit before God. I'm going to save your life. Commit before God. Drink more water. I'm going to drink more water. Now, if you ain't going to drink more water, just sit down because you'll be lying. But if you're going to drink more water, I'm going to bring more. Because I'm telling you what he said. Look what he said he'll do now. He says, I'm going to bless your bread and your water. And then I'm going to do what? I'm going to take sickness away from the midst of thee. So I believe that when I'm drinking my water, you got it? That I'm giving this body what it needs to help flush. All right, now, so you stood up in church. Sit down. And you committed. Drinking more. Amen. Water. Amen. Praise the Lord. All right. We got to hurry. Oh, my time goes through. All right. Listen. Why am I not number what? Okay, number nine. Jeremiah chapter 5. Unconfessed sin and iniquity cancels my covenant benefits. So I can't be around here still acting a fool and sinning and talking about by his stripes I'm healed. Amen. Admit it and quit it. That's what we say about sin. Admit it and quit it. Look at the person that said, admit it and quit it. All right, look what Jeremiah 5:25 says. Your iniquities have turned away these things, and your sins have withholden good things from you. The Amplified says, your iniquities have turned these blessings away, and your sins have kept good harvest from you. So I got to understand that I just can't hang around in sin and keep doing those disobedient things and expect my faith to work. All right. 1 Peter 3, number 10, is an unbridled and undisciplined tongue that gossips and backbites. So when I'm in faith, I'm the sweetest person around. You call me wanting to gossip. No, baby, I can't do that. I got something I'm working on. I'm sorry. No, baby. I can't deal with that right now. No, baby. Verse 10, are you there? For he that will love life and see good days, let him refrain his tongue from evil and his lips that they speak no guile. Now, refrain my tongue means my tongue won't say it. I want to join in right there and gossip with everybody else because we like to hear gossip. But look, I want to see good days and long life. So I'm going to keep my mouth off of people. Amen. You already told me you love me, so you can't be looking at me like that. Proverbs chapter 17. Entertaining depression as an expression of the way you feel in disappointment to attract sympathy. Entertaining depression. In other words, a lot of people when they're sick, they want to let everybody know they're sick, because I want you to give me some attention. You can't play with depression. Amen. It invites other things in that you don't want. Verse 22 is this. Look what verse 22 says. A what? Oh, come on. A what? A merry heart doeth good like a medicine. Amen. So look, what I want to do is, look, I want to keep my heart merry. Amen. I won't laugh. Because the Bible says a merry heart doeth good like medicine. Praise the Lord. Amen. All right. And then finally, a lack of contentment that causes you to misbehave and causes you to go against many times doctor's orders and things that are good for you. Contentment is how I feel about myself. Contentment is the value I place in myself. The Bible says contentment for a person ought not be in the things that he has. Please listen to me. I'm real serious about this. The Bible says a man's life does not consist of a bunch of things which he possess. But it says a man's life, his value is based on the price paid. And Jesus says, I'll never leave you nor forsake you. I've seen people who would not take good medical treatment because they say it's going to make my hair fall out. I say, what you want, hair or death? Come on. We can grow you, you can get some more hair, you can buy you some. No, I'm serious now. But I've seen people so caught up that they didn't want the hair to fall out. That they wait and wait and wait until that sickness and disease has got such a grip on them. And then when they decide to use faith, it's like a relay race. Okay, how fast you are in a relay race, if that other runner is about to cross the finish line, you ain't going to catch him. And I know people who were so vain. I knew because they're not here anymore. I knew people who were so vain that certain medical procedures that would cause them to be disfigured for a while, they wouldn't do it. For a short while, they wouldn't do it. I got to be so content that if I ain't got no hair, I'm still cute. You understand? I'm telling you. And the doctor could have given them time. That procedure could have bought them some time. Praise the Lord. Amen. All right. Now go to Romans chapter 12. I told you it's going to get better. And so in the next five, six minutes, we're gonna move to take it to another level. Amen. Because we found the things that we got to do. Now we have to develop this breakthrough attitude, this resolve, this Holy Ghost swagger. Amen. And you know, that suave confidence that I'm coming through this. Amen, amen, amen. All right. Because I got to tell you something that's going to sound a little strange, but that's why I got to tell you, we got to renew our minds. We fight differently. Weapons of our warfare are not carnal, but mighty through God to the pulling down of strongholds. Verse 1 says, I beseech you therefore, brethren, by the mercy of God, you present your bodies a living sacrifice, wholly acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service. Watch this, verse 2. And be not conformed to this world, but be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove what is a good, acceptable, and perfect will of God. There's some things we have to do. You got it? Because we are working spiritually. Everybody say we're working spiritually now. There's some things we have to do that the world don't understand, but that's okay. Because this is a spiritual process that I'm engaged in. Amen. And it is what separates me from the crowd. Psalms 91. It is what puts me outside of the statistics. Amen, amen, amen. It is my winning edge. It is what strengthens me. Now remember we talked about when I wait on the Lord, my strength is renewed. So how do you get this resolve where you know no matter what you're facing, what really matters hadn't changed. I have a covenant of health and healing. The power of God's working on the inside of me. And I can hold my course. I will not cast away my confidence. All right? Now watch this. Watch this. In Psalms 91, look at verse 7. It says, 1,000 shall fall at thy side. And 10,000 at thy right hand, but it shall not come nigh thee. That's a powerful word. That's a word that separates the believer. It says, now you can be right in something everybody else in. 1,000 fall on this side, 10,000 fall on this side, but you're gonna make it through. Look at the person that said, now who is that? Come on, tell me, who is that? Who is that? Now who is that that the Bible says that 10,000 will fall on one side, 1,000 will fall on the other side, but for that person, they'll come through. Yeah. Verse 1 tells us who that person is. It is he that dwelleth in the secret place of the Most High, who shall abide under the shadow of the Almighty. is that person who knows how to get into the presence of God. It's that person who knows how to get in the presence of God, who knows how to bring God on the scene, who is a worshiper. Everybody say, who's a worshiper? See, it is that person that has this Holy Ghost swagger, this Holy Ghost resolve, this Holy Ghost assurance that, yes, I'm going through. Yes, I have been diagnosed. Yes, you know, it's in my body, but I believe I am the healed, resisting symptoms of sickness and disease. And you can say what you want to say, but as for me, I'm coming through. Where do you get this kind of strength from? You only get that kind of strength from being, from abiding in the presence of God. Now, y'all know in a couple of months, well, a couple of weeks now, we're going to have a worship conference. That whole worship conference is about showing you how to develop confidence in God. You develop a confidence in God by the time, based on the time you spend with Him. They that wait on the Lord, and that waiting on the Lord is about spending time with Him. Your time spent in worship and magnifying Him is what causes you to have a strength and a confidence concerning Him. And you won't cast away that confidence because you know God is bigger than diabetes. God is bigger than tuberculosis. God is bigger than cancer. God is bigger than whatever you have been diagnosed with. God is bigger. Amen, amen. We have resolved to live by faith. Now, we talked to this on Sunday. And when we resolve to live by faith, you know, our resolution says, number one, that I am a child of God and I live distinctively different from the world. Look at the person that says, I'm a child of God. I live distinctively different from the world. Number two, I'm a student of the Word of God and I remain God conscious in every situation. I am a student of God's word, and I remain God conscious in every situation. Number three, my resolve, my swagger is based on God's agenda is my agenda. And kingdom projects are my priority. In other words, I seek first the kingdom of God, and because I do that, guess what? All the other things just added unto me. I choose to live an impact life. And others will know that I have passed this way. Amen, amen. I choose to live an impact life. I'm a spirit being. I'm born again, filled with the Holy Ghost. Hallelujah. I intend to live an impact life. Others will know I have passed this way. My spiritual resolve is based on this. Because of that, I'm excited about my future. I'm excited about my family's future. I'm excited about my church's future. I'm excited about the kingdom of God. Amen, amen. My resolution and my resolve is this. My resolve says this. My resolve says this. Look, hallelujah. That because all of these things happen in my life, I'm a new breed of believer. I fight the fight of faith and I win. Amen, amen. Look at the person next to you. I fight the fight of faith. And I win. All right, now go to Job 5. Show your attitude. I told you, now this is going to be a little different now. Going to be a little different, but that's okay. That's okay. Everybody say, we're different. But that's okay. Now, I need to know how I'm supposed to act when I get some devastating news. I need to know what to do. Are you there? Verse 21 says, thou shalt be hid from the scourge of the tongue, neither shalt thou be afraid of destruction when it cometh. At destruction and famine thou shalt laugh, neither shalt thou be afraid of the beast of the earth. Now that's a whole nother attitude of a believer who understands he's going to win. And that is, I choose to laugh at the bad report. I mean, you got to choose to do something. You can choose to cry, or you can choose to say, ha, 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 ha. I told you, you got to renew your mind. Come on now, I told you, you got to renew your mind. No, you're like, what is he saying? I'm telling you, you got a choice. You can look at a bad poem and go, oh my God, oh my God, oh my God. Or you can look at it and say, the Bible says, in the face of destruction, I laugh. Ha 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 ha. Don't you know that everybody get this die? Oh no, not me. 10,000 fall at this side, 1,000 on that side, but not me. My hope is not built on averages. My hope is built on nothing less than Jesus' blood and his righteousness. I'm coming through it. Amen, amen. Now, when you understand this, you can read Jehoshaphat's story and see why praise and worship made the difference. And when I read it today, I read it in light of the enemies being sicknesses and diseases. Can we just do just a little of that real quick? Let's go to 2 Chronicles 20. We're going to read it like a sickness and disease, and we're going to put some sickness and disease in the place of the enemies. Instead of calling the names of the sickness and disease, we're going to call some names of some diseases. And it came to pass after this that the children of Moab and the children of Ammon and them that with them other besides the Ammonites came against Jehoshaphat to battle. All right, let's say it like this. It came to pass that after this also that the diabetes, whatever, cancer, what else? What else? High blood pressure, what else? Lupus. Arthritis. Came against the people of God to do battle. Then there came some that told Jehoshaphat, saying, there cometh a great multitude of side effects. And Jehoshaphat feared and set himself to seek the Lord and proclaim the fast throughout all Judah. And Judah gathered together to ask help of the Lord. Even out of all of the cities of Judah, they came to seek the Lord. And Jehoshaphat stood in the congregation of Judah and Jerusalem in the house of the Lord before the new court and said, O Lord God of our fathers, art not thou the God of heaven? And rulest not thou over all the kingdoms of the heathen? And in thine hand is there not power and might, so that no sickness, no disease, no lupus, no diabetes, no tuberculosis is able to withstand thee? Art thou not thou our God who didst drive out the inhabitants, the sickness and disease from others? All right. It goes on here as he rehearses all of the goodness of God. Now, let's pick it up there in verse 13. And all of Judah, all the people of God stood before God with their little ones and their wives and their children. Then upon Jehiel, the son of Zacharias, the son of Benaiah, the son of Jael, the son of Mattaniah, Levite of the sorts of the sons of Asaph, came the Spirit of the Lord in the midst of the congregation. So then that night at New Light East came upon the congregation the Spirit of the Lord. And he said, hearken ye, all Judah, and ye inhabitants of Jerusalem, and thou King Jehoshaphat, thus saith the Lord unto you, be not afraid nor dismayed by reason of this sickness and disease, for the battle is not yours, but God's. Tomorrow go down against them. Behold, they come up by the cliff of Zik, and ye shall find them at the end of the brook before the wilderness of Jeruel. Watch this. Ye shall not need to fight in this battle. Set yourselves, stand ye still, and see the salvation of the Lord with you. O Judah and Jerusalem, fear not, Be not dismayed. Tomorrow go out against them, for the Lord will be with you. Watch this. Look at the person that said, I'm attacking my sickness and disease. Oh, no. I'm attacking my sickness and disease. Tell them. I'm attacking this thing. I'm not standing back and trying to defend myself. I intend to attack it with my faith. I'm going to drive it out of my life. And Jehovah said, bowed his head with his face to the ground, and all Judah and the inhabitants of Jerusalem fell before the Lord, worshiping the Lord. Where are my worshipers at? Come on up here. Yeah. All right. And the Levites and the children of the Kohathites and the children of the Kohites stood up to praise the Lord God of Israel with a loud voice on high. And they rose early in the morning and went forth into the wilderness of Tekoa. And they went forth. Jehoshaphat stood and said, hear me, O Israel. Hear me, New Light. Yeah. And body of Christ, hear me out there on the internet. Yeah. Hear me in Austin. Yeah. Hear me in Beaumont. Amen, oh man, amen, amen, amen. Believe in the Lord your God, so shall ye be established. Believe in his prophet, so shall ye prosper. So shall ye be healed. And when he had consulted with the people, he appointed singers unto the Lord, that they should praise the beauty of his of holiness. And as they went out before the army to say, praise the Lord, for his mercy endureth forever. And when they began to sing and to praise the Lord, and to praise, the Lord set ambushments against cancer, ambushments against diabetes, ambushments against lupus, ambushments against high blood pressure. Oh my God, my God, my God. Y'all ready to attack something tonight? Come on, let's just worship the Lord. Stand on your feet. Hallelujah. Amen, amen, amen. Yes.